Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yeah, you're vice president. Come on.
Well, yeah. I feel like I don't do a whole lot. So, I mean,
You do. You do a lot. You do a lot.
We do. We do stuff.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot. Yeah, there's good things going on, and it's amazing. We just had a board meeting recently, and it was exceptional. So I'm just so grateful to God for the wisdom and discernment that's on our board of directors. It's been very, very amazing and helpful. Well, Let's jump right into it. Our upcoming events, the only thing we have left for the calendar year is Caroling for Life. It's coming up very quickly now, Saturday, December 13th. We're going to be at three locations simultaneously. So from 8 a.m. till 9:30 a.m., we'll be at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. We'll be at the Minneapolis Uptown Planned Parenthood. And we'll be at the Bloomington Whole Woman's Abortion Facility. Again, all three of them will be happening simultaneous. So pick which one you want to go to and come and join in. We'll have song sheets, booklets, actually, of all these Christmas carols. Amazing. Hymns. Sometimes we don't look at Christmas carols that way, but these are amazing hymns and telling of the gospel. And so it's the great story of the birth of our Savior. And we've been there singing these hymns when women have noticed that and decided not to have abortions. So you're being there singing with us these Christmas carols has the opportunity to save lives. So come join us December 13th, 8 to 9:30 at those three locations. So, well, Angela, we received information on two ambulances that came on the same day within hours of each other at the Whole Woman's Abortion Facility. Now this was back, I believe, late September is when these ambulances came on that Saturday morning, but we got the information on them. Both of them were women who were hurt by the abortions they had at this location and taken off by ambulance to the emergency room.
Who's the abortionist there?
I don't know who's there on Saturday mornings. I would have to check with my staff to see who's there. I don't know for sure myself. They have two or three different abortionists that come through. And we know the name of one. I'm certain we know the name of one. But the other ones I'm not sure about either. So,
I've just been learning some more about some of the abortionists. Like, I don't know. There's something so odd about, well, obviously, just choosing that as your profession. But I don't know. It's starting to make me want to learn more and profile more of these people. Not obviously to like do anything bad, but just to have this awareness of like, these are the people who are legal serial killers. Like, there's killing just not children. An easy way to put it. They're permitted by the state to be serial killers, and then you have these women who are being actively harmed. And of course, you'll never see that story in the Star Tribune.
No, but hopefully you'll see it in other locations because we're trying to put the story out now that we got the information. So we'll see. We'll see if it gets picked up by the pro-life media, and we'll see if it gets picked up by like Alpha News or something.
How did you find out about these two women who are injured?
Well, first of all, the ambulances were seen by our Siwa counselors.
Okay.
So we knew that the ambulances had been there. We don't make the assumption, though it is a pretty safe assumption to make, but it's not always accurate. We don't make the assumption that this is a woman injured by abortion.
Sure.
We had a case years ago at the Mega Planned Parenthood where an ambulance came because one of the employees of Planned Parenthood was having some issues and was taken away by ambulance. That's the only one ever that we've ever found that wasn't an abortion, by the way.
Right.
But we went and got the calls, the information, sought it out, finally received it. And it shows that that's exactly what it was. Two women, each woman being taken away So, but
has there been any sort of follow-up investigation on behalf of law enforcement? How do you have two women in a single day who need need ambulances from that clinic?
They aren't going to do anything, Angela. That's the reality. They're just assuming that this happens. And as far as law enforcement goes, what laws got broken? You know, abortion is absolutely under Minnesota law, under that 2023 legislation. It's a right. So, which is just sheer insanity to even make that statement in law anywhere. But, you know, that's basically because of those type of statements. And before, under Roe v. Wade, where it was being considered a right under federal constitution, it supersedes everything else. It becomes a super right in some respects.
Free from scrutiny. And you would think that there would be a level of scrutiny, but we can't touch the golden calf. You know, you can't investigate and make sure that these women are safe who are going in.
Right.
And
now the only clear legal recourse would be for the women or their family members to bring a civil lawsuit against the abortion facility. And that does happen from time to time around the country. We don't see much of it here in Minnesota, but it does happen. We've had some in the past, many years ago, but yeah, there's always room for, you know, the harm that's been done. If they didn't do anything correct whatsoever at any point, then they're liable. But those women have to decide that for themselves. We don't have any connection with them, so there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. Just, you know, keep it under watch, you know, and try and prevent it from happening to anybody else by helping them not have abortions in the first place.
Right.
So, which is why we're out there sidewalk counseling all the time. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they just had their annual meeting here recently. There were a couple things that were decided that are very significant. One is that the bishops are calling on all Catholics nationwide to pray on January 22nd, 23rd for an end to abortion. So they're going to have a nationwide prayer vigil for life. They will have the center of the prayer vigil will be taking at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. So there's an encouragement, if you're able to travel, to be a part of, like, this is the time the March for Life will be going on, and the pro-life conference, big pro-life conference that goes on, will be there. This will be, in addition to that, will be this time of prayer vigil at the Basilica. But if you can't be there, the encouragement is to pray. Pray where you're at. Pray for the unborn. Keep a vigil at home. Keep a vigil at your own home parish. Maybe encourage some sort of vigil to happen at your parish that same weekend or that same time frame, 22nd and the 23rd. But that would be an amazing thing. And you can go to the USCCB's website, go to their pro-life activities portion of it, and there will be information there both on this as well as what you can do at home. So look for that. The other thing they decided, and I love this almost as much as that they're praying for an end to the killing of the unborn, is that next year, as part of the 250th anniversary of the United States, the United States bishops have approved the consecration of the United States to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And they're going to do it on the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart in June of 2026, just before the July 4th anniversary, 250th anniversary. So something this nation desperately needs.
And, so true.
So it'd be very good. There's a new bill that's come forward. Senator James Lankford, from a Republican from Oklahoma, has brought forward a new piece of legislation for conscience protections for medical residents. This is to ensure that those who are going through medical school will not be forced or required to get involved in abortion training, nor be faced retaliation for not participating. So we hope that this will get some traction and go somewhere. It's just a bill right now, and it's just in the U.S. Senate. But uh, uh, and if it can get through the Senate and the House, I have full confidence that it would be signed into law, protecting their conscience rights. And then this one, Angela, I don't know if you remember, we talked about this a couple years ago when this came out originally, where the Satanic Temple decided to sue Idaho over its pro-life laws.
Yes, I do remember.
2022. They also sued, I think simultaneously or very close to that same time frame, they sued the state of Indiana over its pro-life laws as well. Well, they lost it at the state court. They bumped into federal court. And now a federal judge has definitively dismissed the lawsuit, bringing a permanent end to this thing. And basically saying, you know, it's just saying that they did it with, he did it with prejudice, so it is gone, thankfully. Now, there's a couple points to this, though, that are important to understand. One is, you know, they're trying to claim that it's a ritual or a religious right, that abortion is for them, and it violates their religious freedom. But they were claiming this based on their notion of bodily autonomy.
Yep.
And we're trying to make that a religious issue. Well, we all believe in bodily autonomy to some great degree. Not completely, but to some great degree. I mean, even in the law, we tend to see that. But there are points where bodily autonomy gets trumped by law, such as, you know, you can't just take drugs. You violate the law when you do that, and right. so forth and so forth. And of course,
especially when you're pregnant, by the way.
Right. And the biggest hindrance to the claim of the notion of bodily autonomy, and we're hearing this more and more from the young people, they're claiming this when they're saying abortion is a right, it's bodily autonomy, is that there's a second body that also has the right to bodily autonomy if you're claiming bodily autonomy. So it's not just the woman, it's also the unborn child has got bodily, if you're claiming this concept of bodily autonomy. And so that, and the court saw that. They saw through that so well.
The other thing I think is so striking is this admission, this very stunning admission that abortion for Satanists is a religious ritual for them. They worship autonomy, bodily autonomy. And we've
by killing a human being, by killing a human being, right?
But that's exactly it. We've discussed in the past how abortion is an inversion of the sacrament of Holy Communion, where Jesus gives up his life for us, and he says, "This is my body given up for you." And abortion is when a woman says, "This is your body given up for me." And it's this complete demonic inversion of what sacrificial love looks like in a sacramental reality. And I think it's very telling that Satanists will admit this is religious in nature, because we know that this is a blood sacrifice for people who have been taken over by the demonic, who have succumbed and given in and are captured in a sense by the devil. So it's just very striking to me. And they'll say, well, we don't really believe in God or the devil. The devil doesn't care. The devil doesn't care if you believe in him, or in his existence or not. You're still doing his bidding. You know, it's just
I think the devil likes us not to believe he exists.
Oh yeah,
makes it easier for him to do his evil. Right? So yeah, it's much easier. So, well, the mayor-elect of New York City, Zohran Mamdani, decided to go on a rant attacking pro-life pregnancy centers while trying to campaign for his new, what he calls, Finnish-style baby boxes to new mothers. So here's what this program is, and it's kind of just a reissuing of a program that the current mayor has, Eric Adams, who also has ranted against the pro-life pregnancy centers. And it's this idea that every woman who has a baby will receive this one baby box, which is going to have some diapers in it and maybe some other things in there, wipes, things like that, just one box of diapers or something like that, while they're attacking organizations that give ongoing help to women before and after their baby is born for as long as is needed in many cases. most do it at least more than a year.
And so
they're attacking, you know, we're not talking one box of baby diapers. Now we're talking about boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of them being given out by pregnancy help centers. And yet they're being attacked while they're saying in their socialistic realm, they're going to give away one box, regardless of income, by the way. You know, even if you're filthy rich, you'll get a box of diapers. Right.
Well, it's not even, it's that, but it's even more egregious when you consider that many pregnancy centers now are offering prenatal care. They are providing education classes for these women. They're helping them find jobs. I mean, their pregnancy centers are doing so much more these days than just providing diapers and formula. I mean, it is whole person. Let's look at your circumstances, your situation, and let's see where we can address those things that make you feel like you're in a crisis. How do we walk alongside you to ensure that you and your baby can move forward and change the complete trajectory of your life? Is Planned Parenthood doing that? Are any of these abortion? And not only that, but they're saving the government money because you have donors paying for this and helping subsidize this. This is not, unless the pregnancy center is taking federal money, which does happen, but they're far less of a financial burden on the state than something like Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they don't take government money, overwhelmingly don't take government money. Certainly had it removed here in Minnesota. So that's not even there to begin with, the little pittance that was being given to pregnancy help centers in the first place. So they do such amazing work. Well, there is a new report, and this is coming out of the Charlotte Lazur Institute, and it's showing that the material support provided to families and women by these pro-life pregnancy resource centers all across the United States, many of which are medical clinics nowadays, that what they gave in 2024 was an increase of 48% over what was being given away in 2022. 48% increase. Client satisfaction. Angel, this is a crazy. Client satisfaction raised to 98%.
That's crazy.
There is no such thing as 98% approval rating on anything anymore. And yet these pregnancy resource centers, which are being decried by our attorney general in Minnesota, by government officials in other states all around the country, mayors and so forth, being called fake and false and all this other stuff, they still get a 98% satisfaction rating. Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we're talking about pregnancy centers seeing all across the United States, cumulatively, saw more than 1 million new clients in 2024.
Yeah.
Praise God. What good work they do. And I'm just so grateful for that good work and so forth. Well, in Ohio, the Ohio House of Representatives passed the Baby Olivia Prenatal Development Education Bill. So it continues to go forward in the state legislature in Ohio. This several states around the country now, Idaho, Tennessee, I'm not going to name them all. There are three or four states now that have passed this into law where the kids in school, in this case for Ohio, it's grades 5 through 12, receive education about prenatal development. And it's all based on this live action Baby Olivia video that they put together, which is this high definition ultrasound video concept with animation that's very, very medically and scientifically accurate. They also allow for other videos to be used in doing this as well. But I just, you know, the kids being taught the truth about the unborn is so important that the pro-abortion movement fights it tooth and nail. Mm-hmm. Because they know that it will harm their business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can't have true informed consent in abortion because far less people would consent and pursue abortion as a means of addressing whatever they have going on in their lives. I mean, it's the sad reality that many of these women are pursuing abortion, one, because of ignorance about fetal development, but two, really because of a financial situation or some other circumstance that is temporary, they make a life-altering decision. And so when you put this information before people, it really brings the reality of abortion to the fore for people. And I think we see it all the time when you do graphic image displays, or you see people out on the street showing people these videos about baby Olivia or any other developmental videos. Often people are shocked about what they're seeing. They have no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. In Oregon, Oregon has decided to give out of their legislature's emergency board funding $7.5 million to go to Oregon Planned Parenthood facilities. This is all in response to the federal limiting of the Medicaid money going to Planned Parenthood for their involvement with abortion. So again, Planned Parenthood's commitment to kill unborn children is so fundamental that they would risk even closing down, which they have, I think, 48, 49.
I think it's 50 now.
Planned Parenthood facilities 50. Have closed mm-hmm. since the funding was cut off. They'd rather do that than stop killing unborn children. Don't tell me they're about other stuff. They're about abortion. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. In Wisconsin, they passed a bill that redefines abortion. Now, this is a pro-life bill. And what it is, and there's some nuance here, but I think it's very important for us to all to understand. So the pro-abortion movement, the pro-abortion politicians, whenever there is a situation where there's the possibility of banning abortion or severely restricting abortion, they start screaming about, well, what about miscarriage care and ectopic pregnancies? You won't be able to get those things if we pass this law, and so forth and on and on. The reality is that's not what those laws say in the first place. So Wisconsin is proactively trying to pass legislation that redefines so that it's very clear that it does not include miscarriage, does not include proper care with an ectopic pregnancy or other variances like that. That what we're talking about is induced abortion, and that's what we're trying to limit, so that you don't have this ability to confuse the people out there, especially when, you know, like in Ohio, when they had their when they ended up having their constitutional amendment passed, the pro-abortion movement did the full focus on miscarriage in order to dupe the electorate to be able to vote in favor of something they really didn't want. Mm-hmm. So again, I think this is a great idea to just clarify it in the law so that they can't use that absolutely horrible argument to continue abortion.
Well, they've really weaponized this quote unquote ambiguity. There's been no ambiguity in the law, but apparently we need to spell everything out very explicitly. But it is crazy to me because we're seeing a shift. I feel like not enough people are talking about this shift. And a lot of it is because of the way that the medical community has weaponized this exact type of thing. But they're trying really hard to conflate miscarriage and spontaneous abortion with elective abortion. Yeah. And you're seeing, so when people are talking about abortion, they're talking about even ending a pregnancy in terms of normal labor. People will say that that's an abortion now, is women going into labor. It's what they are doing to change the language to confuse people about the nature of elective abortion is really horrendous. So that was one thing that I was happy to see with, well, if you guys are going to continue to claim that all these things are abortions and we're not allowed to do these things, well, let's spell it out for you so that you can't pretend anymore that, you know, you can't do this type of care. Because of course, they have always said women who need emergency medical care for a miscarriage, that has always been permissible every time.
Yeah, absolutely. So South Carolina woman has been charged with murder and unlawful attempted murder and unlawful neglect of a child 27 weeks along. And she gives birth to a baby after taking the abortion drugs. Now here, a chemical abortion pill is being abused every which way. it's not an ever to be used at this late stage of a pregnancy, but it was by this woman. When she gave birth to the baby was born alive, but she made no effort to get assistance or help for the child. They did find out, though, that the baby was there. They were able to get the baby. The baby is now in critical condition, but still alive. So, tragic situation caused by the use of that. In another situation with the abortion pill, we've got a man, a doctor, who now has lost his license to practice medicine. He's had it suspended. This is in Ohio. He had recently separated from his wife, began dating another woman.
One of his patients, by the way.
Yeah, in December of 2024, he tells him she's pregnant. He tells her to go get an abortion. She says no. So he orders up abortion pills online, probably the same way the woman in South Carolina had done. And he forces her while she's asleep. He forces the abortion pills crushed up into her mouth. Now the woman did manage to get away, and she drove herself to the hospital, reported the assault, vaginal bleeding, and so forth. So, but yeah, again, the abuse of these pills is so rampant. We hear all these stories. Here's the third one. So this is a man who has, and this one wasn't the abortion pill, but it was the same thing, trying to force an abortion on someone. In Missouri, he's been sentenced to 15 and a half years in prison. He kidnapped his girlfriend, drove her to a Planned Parenthood in a neighboring state, because at the time of this, you couldn't get an abortion in Missouri. So he drives probably to Illinois and tries to force her in there. Now, the woman was able to escape she texted a family member, got the police involved. He got free of that. But he now has been found guilty of kidnapping the girlfriend and trying to force her to get an abortion, and is going to spend 15 and a half years in federal prison for that crime. Thankfully, he was caught for that.
So can I just highlight here quickly, too? I mean, both of these cases are absolutely horrific, but it's not like it's one particular demographic, right? You have a Caucasian doctor with all the access he could possibly want for abortion pills who is getting this. And then you have somebody else, African-American young man, maybe statistically more likely to be impoverished on some level. And he's also forcing his girlfriend, or trying to, into having an abortion. And that's the thing, is like, this is so accessible. Like, I don't think people are realizing how easy it is. I just read a story in PBS. They published an interview, the transcript of a doula who's traveling through the states delivering abortion pills to women in states where it's illegal to have chemical abortions. I mean, there's something very frightening about how available this is and how easy it is for people to abuse and continue abusing women who are in these types of relationships. You know, it's like, people need to wake up. This is a huge problem.
It absolutely is. Absolutely is. And of course, the free-for-all that it is with mail order abortions by use of the abortion pill. And here's a story. The Missouri Attorney General has announced that she filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to stop the distribution of abortion pills through the mail. They're trying to block that. Kansas and Idaho have come together into this lawsuit. They're looking to restore the pre-2016 safety standards for the abortion pill. So they're not trying to stop the abortion pill. They're just trying to get it, you know, so that it's back to what it was before 2016, which would seriously curtail its use across the United States. So much so. Again, we're having our Caroling for Life on December 13th, Saturday morning. Come and join us 8 to 9:30 in the morning at any of those three locations I mentioned. It's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.